Formerly a film and TV producer, Aurora is the founder of the Grief Coach Academy, dedicated to training coaches and people who want to become coaches how to help people through grief. Aurora is the author of From Heartbreak to Happiness, which has been endorsed by New York Times best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer, who said, "I read every page of this beautiful diary. It touched my heart, and I'm sure it will impact yours." Aurora is a popular guest on radio and TV and has been heard by over a million people on Creating a Life Filled with Authentic Happiness. She was recently featured on Montel Across America, Woman's World Magazine, and Better TV to name a few. Aurora co-stars with best-selling author and leading experts such as Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, in the award-winning documentary feature film entitled What If?
So this is the From Heartbreak to Happiness. You hopefully know who I am, Aurora Winter, the founder of the Grief Coach Academy, the author of From Heartbreak to Happiness. But more important, we're going to discover a little bit more about who you are over the next 2 days and bring out your divine magnificence. And so let's remember that you are created as one with God. And let's just start this weekend with a meditation, bringing us all into the here and now. So you might even want to slip off your shoes, get yourself comfy, shake your body a little bit. You might be sitting stiffly in your chair, and just take some deep cleansing breaths. We could even dim the lights if they're a little loud. And I invite you to join me in taking some deep cleansing breaths. So just inhale and relax your body. Exhale and smile. Inhale, coming fully into the present moment. And exhale, knowing that it's a beautiful moment. At your own pace, inhale and relax your body. Exhale and smile. Inhale, coming fully into the present moment. And exhale, knowing that it's a wonderful moment. It's a little four-breath meditation by the Thich Nhat Hanh, a Buddhist monk. One more time. Inhale and relax your body. Exhale and smile. Inhale, coming fully into the present moment. And exhale, knowing that it's a wonderful moment. I invite you to continue with the deep breathing as we co-create this energy field together. And I invite you just to notice if you're a shallow breather and to breathe fully and exhale that little bit of stale air that you might have in your lungs. And I invite you to decide right now that you're going to place all the worries, all the care, all the busyness, all the to-do lists outside the door. You can pick them up on your way out if you want to. I invite you to put all your limiting beliefs, all the things that may be keeping you small, outside the door. You can pick them up on the way out if you choose to. And invite you instead to expand into who you really are, who you truly are. Expand into that divine being in the disguise of a human body. That's your true essence. That's who you really are. I invite you to welcome in that friend and that divine being. And fully embrace that, relax into that. That's who you are when all the stories are released. I invite you to continue with the deep breathing. I honor and acknowledge that the divine is. It is the I am that I am. It is that peace that surpasses all understanding. The divine is all needs met with grace and with ease. The divine is creative and expansive in its very nature. It is also non-linear in its very nature and shows up as things that we call miracles or quantum leaps. And we invite in those quantum leaps of consciousness, those quantum leaps of joy, bliss, happiness, clarity, prosperity, health, wealth. We invite those in as I honor and acknowledge that the divine is in everything and in everyone, including in me and including in you. So I invite that part of us that is divine to be fully present right here and right now, that we may all be instruments for the divine to flow through us, bringing us and each person divine clarity, revelation, insight, love, harmony, beauty, light, bringing us, bringing you everything that you ask for, so that everyone gets what they hope to achieve out of this weekend. You get what you came for and more. And I invite you silently to place your own intention into this co-created energy field, as they call this weekend sacred. I call the space sacred. I call the participants forth into their sacred angelic beings, so that all may be blessed and blessings. And I release this intention with gratitude and with thanksgiving, because I know it was already done even before I asked. So be it, and so it is. So there's a lot of power to setting an intention, and there's even more power if you write your intention down. And there's even more power if you have it witnessed. And there's even more power if you have the witness sign the piece of paper. I really want you to get what you came for. So I invite you to fill out this. It's on page 2, the introductions. And it's simply, you're going to really state your intention in writing and then ask somebody else at your table to support you in achieving that intention by witnessing your intention. And you can choose to achieve your intention by the end of the weekend, a month from now, a year from now, you know. But I do think it would be really cool if you set an intention to achieve by Sunday, and maybe another intention for a longer time span as well. I invite you to the knowing that each person in this room has a gift for you. But it's your job to discover it. It's like Christmas. The gifts are wrapped. It's your job to open the gift and find, discover and have it be revealed. And the other tricky part of this is the person carrying the gift doesn't know what the gift is. So have fun discovering what gifts each person in this room has for you. And step into knowing that you have a gift for each person in this room also. Fun thing is, you don't know what it is. Or maybe you do. Don't try too hard to give the gifts. Just be you. Who you are, your very essence, is a gift. In fact, if you try to give the gift, you may not be able to give it. It's effortless. It's effortless. Just be authentically you. Although I do invite you to take your mask off and leave that at the door. Bless you. Because the mask will make it so much harder for you to see and receive the gifts others have for you. And the mask may block you from giving your wonderful gifts to others. I would like to introduce the Grief Coach Academy's number one soul friend, Maureen Burke. This amazing woman allows us to do what we do. She has been behind the scenes, being everyone's soul friend, welcoming people, connecting with people, taking care of all the thousands of details at an event. So if you're a little lost, or you need support, Maureen will either help you herself or she'll send you in the right direction, because we have a team of people here to support you. So once again, thank you, Maureen. And actually, while we're at that, let me reveal to you that it's not just me here to support you in bringing out your divine magnificence, and not just Maureen so that she's not overwhelmed. We have a team here. I'd like to invite all of the students, well, first the mastery students at the Grief Coach Academy, the people who've been studying for over a year, to please stand up. So we've got Babette and Robin here. These two amazing women, and Maureen as well, so these three amazing women have really felt called to serve in this area of coaching people from heartbreak to happiness. And they've dedicated themselves to becoming masters at this craft. And they're really good. And they're dedicated to becoming even better. That's why they're here. So if you get to a sticky part and there's some challenges, coaching challenges around the From Heartbreak to Happiness, I would invite you to also reach out to Babette and to Robin. Now, please stay standing. I'd like to invite all of the students at the Grief Coach Academy to stand up. These other amazing beings and angels are here to serve you. Some of them have just recently joined us. Others are, you know, near completion of their first year. So they're coaches unfolding in beautiful, magnificent, divine right timing. They're amazing angels and spirits. And so again, if you're feeling a little bit like you need a little extra support from somebody more experienced who's committed to this path of helping others go from heartbreak to happiness, take a look around the room. All right, back to what we were doing a moment ago. I'd love to have a little sharing from just a couple people. I like it to be interactive. For what you've written on your sheet, your name, your passion or pain that brought you here, and your intention for this event. Or if you have not written that down, your intention for 30 days or a year from now. But an intention for the event would be great. So who'd like to share? Mickey.
Good morning, I'm Mickey. Those of you who haven't yet to give me a hug, I will be around later. Passion that brought me here was to bring help and happiness and fulfillment again to people who are suffering from grief. My pain that brought me here was the death of my daughter, and I thought I'd worked through all of it and it was great, but Aurora has helped me to sweep out the corners of my closet. My goal and intention for the event is to put together a network of all of you to be on my team, because there is no I in team. And we all need the support and the help and the things that I have learned from so many people this weekend. Thank you. I'm willing to achieve my goal. I'm willing to be open to new ideas. I will know that I have achieved my goal and intention by the evidence of the fulfillment, the full paying practice, and the fundamentals that I'm here to learn and to take action.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you for sharing. Great. Who else would like to share? Just put your hand up. Susan, yes.
Hi, I'm Susan Putman, and my passion and pain that brought me here, I have a passion for very young children and their parents.
Yes.
And the second passion that I brought me here was that I carry my daughter very close to my heart, even though she's been gone for 6 years. And I want to release her. My goal and intention for this event is to release the little girl in my heart. And my second goal is to make a profound difference for millions of young children. I'm willing to achieve my goal, and I'm willing to be open to new ideas, and I will know that I've achieved my goal and intention by the following evidence. I finished Cynthia's book, and I have testimonials to establish the difference I've made in young children's lives. I will achieve this by releasing Cynthia by Sunday night and by making my difference for very young children in 2 or 3 years.
We support you in achieving that goal. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Lori, your name and your passion or pain that brought you here and your intention for the event.
My name is Lori White, and the passion or pain that brought me here, it's a tremendous passion to help other people through the pain of unemployment, a pain that I was going through for 2 years, and I'm still unemployed, but I'm not in pain anymore, thanks to you folks. My goal and intention for this event is to get the inspiration, all the inspiration that I can get, to feel wanted and needed again, and to rediscover the true Lori. The goal, I'll know I've achieved my goal and intention when I have entirely left the solitude that I condemned myself to and returned to being the loving, caring person that I truly am. And I also intend to have 2 coaching clients by my birthday, July 15th.
Lovely. So be it. Okay, well, I think that probably gives you enough of a flavor that the other people in the room are just like you. Moving on here.
Hi, my name is Robin Connell. I wanted to say thank you to Aurora. I have been in grief for 21 years, actually, but 10 of the years I lost because I felt like I was carrying around this grief, this 10-pound boulder. And I was finally, in 4 months, able to set it down, kick it off the edge of the cliff, and I am back. I just have experienced a great shift in a wonderful place, and I feel like I have myself back. So thanks, Aurora.
Stand up, Robin. Give her a round of applause. What's that worth to have yourself back? Everything. And my intention is that you'll all feel that way by the end of this weekend, and that maybe you'll feel called like Robin to give that same gift to others.
Hi, I'm Terry Levine, the Guru of Coaching, and I so wish that I was able to be here with all of you today. I had to go to another speaking engagement, but the truth is, I'm so honored to be asked to introduce Aurora Winter. And I have to tell you something. I've been coaching for a very long time, for over 12 years. I've coached over 5,000 people, have my own coach training school, and I never, ever speak at other people's events that own coach training schools. I never, ever endorse anybody that owns a coach training school. I never tell my coaches, go to somebody else's coach training school. But what I want you to know is that Aurora is the real deal. As soon as I met this woman, there was integrity and there was heart and there was such passion behind what she was doing. And then when I read her book, Heartbreak to Happiness, I laughed and mostly I cried. And I said, this is a person who's sincere and has a mission and a vision. So I wish that I was here live, but I am delighted and honored to be here to tell you that when you listen to Aurora, you are listening to someone with heart and integrity, someone who owns one of the most amazing coach training programs on the planet and the only one that I refer people to. It is with great pleasure and utmost respect that I say to you, please welcome my good friend, Aurora Winter.
She was here yesterday. And it's cool what you can do with the modern technology. Bryce and Terry in Yale helped me get that video up there. We didn't have time to edit it, but it's amazing what you can do. I invite you, in your booklet, there's a place for you at the beginning for you to write down your ahas, and there's also a place for you to write down your questions. Ahas can be fleeting unless you capture them. Very, very important that you receive all the gifts that you get and that you take them home with you when you go home. So write down your ahas, and there's on the next sheet a place to write down questions. But write down your questions if you've got a burning question. I don't want you to leave with your questions not answered. Okay, so heartbreak has got 3 main causes. It's a loss of connection. This is the one that we think of most frequently. It's the loss of loved ones, of family, of friends. That could be grief through death, but it could also be a divorce. It can even be the loss of a community. I know people who have been in grief because they lost their church community, or even a move can be a big loss. It can be, heartbreak can also be caused by a loss of contribution. And that could be a loss of your career or loss of meaning, loss of self-esteem, loss of life purpose. And heartbreak can also be caused by a loss of cash, just to make it three C's. So a loss of financial security, prosperity, and the freedom that goes with that. So I just invite you to know that heartbreak is caused by many different root causes, but they kind of basically fall under the umbrella of connection, contribution, and cash. And we're going to put a loss of health under contribution, because when your health is challenged, it's very difficult for you to show up. So just notice that you may have several areas of heartbreak in your life, or notice that other people may have these other areas as well. So here are three steps to having an initial conversation with someone who is heartbroken. I invite you not to worry about taking notes. Studies have proven that you actually retain more if you don't take notes, but if you are fully present. And I invite you just to be fully present and know that you will receive all the gifts that you need. And this is not school. This is more about being present. So three steps to an initial conversation with somebody who is heartbroken. This is not the full way to coach them through it. But first, you want to acknowledge. Then you want to listen without fixing. And the third thing you want to do is give hope and encouragement. And hope and encouragement could be just saying to somebody who's terminally ill, you know, you're not alone. You're not alone, as Rain did. You have a support team and I'm on it. That can make the world of difference for someone. Or it could be reminding them of their inner strength. So somebody who's perhaps dealing with a divorce and they're devastated, you can say, you know, well, remember 5 years ago when you lost your job, you know, you were devastated, but you got busy, you got out there, you know, within a few months you got an even better job, you love it more, you're making more, and you can use those same qualities of persistence, of clarity, of hard work to deal with this other challenge as well. Or you can also give hope and encouragement by sharing a success story. And that's where something like my book, From Heartbreak to Happiness, comes in. It's just one person's story of going from heartbreak to happiness. It's just my own intimate diary of healing after my husband died suddenly at the age of 33 when our son was only 4. But if I can do it, you can too. And each of you represent some kind of a success story for whatever you've overcome. But just notice that the order does matter, and that so often when somebody shares something heartbroken, we immediately want to go to number 3 and give hope and encouragement. But that can end up with the person not feeling heard. So you first want to acknowledge their situation, then listen without fixing. Just listening is a huge gift, and then give hope and encouragement. So let's talk about some of the worst things to say and some of the best things to say, and then we'll have a little sharing. I see Yale's nodding. I'll invite him to share some of the worst things he ever heard, maybe. So here are some of the worst things to say. It just takes time. I hate that one. I'm out to bust that myth. If you just wait for time alone, you may never get out of the well. You know, I like it when people are dealing with grief. I like to say it's like they've fallen down a well and they're at the bottom of the well and it's dark and the sides are slippery. Time is not going to get them out of the well. They need somebody with a flashlight to throw them down a rope ladder and to stand there holding the ladder with the flashlight saying, okay, it's one step and another step. And you can do it. I'm here for you. You know, that's what coaching is. We hold that rope ladder and the flashlight and we help them get out of the... And then once they're standing on the grass, we move them away from the well and say, which mountain would you like to climb? And then we're their champions on that path. So they get very, very far away from the well. So time alone is not going to get you out of the well. Don't feel bad.
You're totally negating the person. You're doing the opposite of acknowledging and listening without fixing. Don't feel bad, not helpful. I know how you feel. Again, that shuts down communication. And how could you? Even if you've been through something similar, you don't know how another person feels. And it's kind of like saying, I get it already, don't tell me about it. I didn't even know how I was going to feel. Anybody who's read my book, you know, one day to the next, it's like, whoa, you know, one day she's like all joyful, the next day she's all despairing, one day she's like, what's the point of life, next day she's like, wow, this is so great. It's like, grief is not sorrow. Grief is a cacophony of emotions. It's a whole bunch of emotions and situations that you need to deal with. It's not just sorrow. It's not that simple. It's multi-layered. And it's other kinds of challenges, like, you know, when David died, how am I going to support our little family of two? What's going to happen next? It's all kinds of challenges. So I know how you feel. Not helpful, even if you've been through a similar situation. It was just God's will. You know, the first time somebody told me that, then I thought I was a horrible person. If this was God's will, I must have deserved punishment, right? And spirituality was my main way out of the well. So the person who was just trying to kind of, in their innocence, maybe make it a little bit better, made it way worse. And it took me a while to make friends with God enough again so that he could help me, he, she could help me out of the well. You should be over it by now. Who made you the timekeeper? Is that helpful? No. You're young, you can get another husband. People told me that at David's funeral. Like, what does that have to do? That man was the love of my life. That man was my husband. That man was the father of our most amazing son. That human being, replacing the loss. So many people go to that. There are many fish in the sea. It just trivializes the person's truth. At least you have other children. Ow. If your child dies, ow, you're young, you can get pregnant again, ow. You brought this on yourself with a divorce or whatever, ow. You know, I think the secret is helpful. It is good sometimes when you're not in the bottom of the well to look at, if this was a gift, how could I receive it? What can I learn? How could I grow? How could I avoid slipping in another well? But when you're at the bottom of the well, you don't need somebody pouring water into the well. I don't know if you remember this, honey, but people told you when you were 4 at your father's funeral, you're the man of the house now. You need to look after your mother. Do you remember that? Thank God I heard that. And I was hopefully able to, you know, totally mitigate that. Wow, 4 years old. You're the man of the house now. You need to look after your mother. He's reeling from the death of his father, and he has that burden. What do we or other people say to our children that could really devastate them? Any lies are not helpful, ever, 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 ever. In fact, you know, if you've read my book, one of the most powerful parts of it, for me anyway, was when Yale was 13, he wrote a letter. It was a school assignment, but that's okay. It was school assignment, I think, to write to your hero. And he wrote to me, and he said what a difference it made that I never lied to him, that I always told him the truth. Because, you know, a death or a divorce or some heartbreak creates a loss of trust. It creates a break in trust. So why add another layer of hurt to that with a lie? So grandma or grandpa is sleeping? No, they're dead. Or if you can't say dead, they've passed on. You need to be alone. No, that's like the opposite of what's going to be helpful. You need to keep busy. Be grateful you had him so long. Ow. Gratitude is a great thing, but that's not helpful. Let's have the mic. A couple of horrible things that people have told you. Babette?
This wasn't told to me, but I heard about what someone said about the loss of a baby. Uh-huh. They said, well, at least the parents didn't know the child that long.
Yeah, ow. Like, ow. Right. And a lot of these are going to fall under the category of don't feel bad. They're trying to make you feel better, but in fact, what they're doing is minimizing your actual feelings and trivializing a death.
Right.
Trivializing your feelings.
Yes, go ahead, Julia.
And one thing somebody said to me after my husband died after his illness was it was for the best when he was gone.
Ow. So. Mickey.
I was told at my daughter's funeral, honey, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger.
Ow. Ow.
And told to my daughter, overheard by me, you know, it was your fault if you hadn't have made the decision to go out that night. To
ow.
My other daughter.
Ow. 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 Not helpful.
I have two. I lost a horse in 2001 that I'd had for 26 years. I had her from the time I was 11 till I was 38. Somebody at work said to me, well, if that's the worst thing that you have happened to you, you know, like, I grew up with this horse. She brought me great joy. She brought other people great joy. I could take people who'd never ridden before, could ride her and have a great time. Then the other one is, oh, the person's in a better place. How do you know? So that's one that, you know,
and
I got.
Even if that's true, you're not.
Right, and that's, I got that, you know, I got that one after my mom passed away 3 years ago. So.
And I want to just honor that the people saying these things don't mean harm.
Yeah.
They just don't know any better. Yeah. They haven't been taught until now. And you can now share this information with other people. Yes.
I was going to, really quick, one more. That Mickey shared about what doesn't, you know, make you, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I love, I think a lot of probably people in here read Oprah's magazine, Lisa Kogan, who writes in there. And she had a little blurb. I don't remember it exactly, but it says, it was that about that statement, it doesn't make me strong. It makes me bitchy, insecure, you know, moody, worry about money, like all the things that do come up when you feel there's a crisis. So I actually cut that out and I saved that piece of the article. It's been a few months ago because I think she's a wonderful writer about life.
Great. Let's take Lindsay, but I just want to say something, and it'll be the last sharing, then we'll move on. So I love the itchy, mitchy, all that stuff. These are examples of not being good listeners, really. So as coaches, we learn to be good listeners. And so when you fix, these are attempts to fix or minimize, but they land, instead of like a hug, they land like a knife, right? So just notice that all these attempts to fix hurt instead of heal, and step into knowing that just listening is a gift. No fixing, no commenting. Yes, Lindsay.
My mother died of a suicide, and the minister at the funeral said, we think she is in heaven.
Ow!
But we're not sure.
Ow, 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 Lindsay. Actually, I have a story for my own. Okay, go ahead. I have a story, and then you can pass her the mic. My own family, my uncle, I understand, went into the ministry, and he just finished, and he, you know, graduated, and he'd got his own little church, and he was a minister. It's like first week at work, the husband in the community died, and the wife and the kids were like crying in his office, and he had no clue what to say to them, so he left the ministry. How can somebody become an ordained minister and not have these skills? So he went off, and he was in Alberta, so he went in the oil business instead. And it's okay that you don't know, you know, what to say or not say, because apparently even ordained ministers aren't taught. Go ahead.
When my father died, I was 9, and I had another sister in between, but my older sister was 17.
Uh-huh.
And one of my teachers told her that he was better off.
Oh.
And that, I mean, it just resounded so deep to all of us.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. And I'm sure you could all share some more things. So let's move on to some good things to say instead, okay? All right. So some of the best things to say are, you can remember this one. I don't know what to say. If that's your truth, because you want to be authentic. And if somebody says something, you're like, wow, you can just say, I don't know what to say. That actually lands like, okay, this person's willing to be genuine. They're not going to give me some automatic, trivializing, stupid response. I don't know what to say. Good, you can remember that. You can even write that down. My heart goes out to you. You're not alone. I'm here. It's not your fault, especially to a child. Over and over and over and over again to a child. Children blame themselves for death. They blame themselves for divorce. They blame themselves for everything over and over and over again to a child. It's not your fault. And aren't we all just little children inside? It's not your fault. You are not the center of the universe. Things do not revolve around you. And whether you go to a meeting or you didn't go to a meeting, whether you went to the doctor or you didn't go to the doctor, it's not your fault. I can't imagine how you feel is an invitation for you to tell me, but not an interrogation. How do you feel? How do you think I feel? I can't imagine how you feel. Oh, this person is not interrogating me, but they're willing to listen if I'd like to paint a picture, but I don't have to. It's actually helpful to ask little questions about facts, like what happened. Most people, you know, when they hear something, they go, but actually most people in my experience like to have the opportunity just to tell you the facts, and it's kind of a relief, especially at the beginning, to just share. How did you find out? It's reassuring to hear grief is a normal and natural reaction to loss. It's okay. It's a normal and natural reaction to loss. I remember after my husband died, I was like, wow, this is like so intense. I've never had these intense feelings before. Should I just shoot myself now and get this over with? Do I need to check myself into the insane asylum? Is there something wrong with me? No, grief is intense. That's what it is. You know that. You wouldn't be in this room. It's intense, right? Grief is a normal and natural reaction to loss. In fact, if you didn't experience some intense emotions when you're grieving, then you would need to see a therapist. Because there would be something wrong with you then. Normal and natural to experience grief. That's why coaching works so well. And it's good to ask specific questions like, what specifically can I do to support you? And then give the person an A or a B option. You know, could I come over on Saturday and babysit the kids so you can go to the gym? Or can I take your car in for service and or come over and change the oil? Or can I take down the Christmas lights? Can I bring over a hot dinner? Can I come over and do your nails? Would you like to go out sailing on Tuesday? Whatever. Two specific suggestions, because a grieving person is not coherent enough to think of a good answer to that question. And it might be, I'd like a hug. You know, Jerry was giving us the insight yesterday, you know, that just to be held when you're grieving the death of a spouse or even a divorce, just to be held is such a gift. So, but to ask before you give a hug. Not everybody is comfortable with hugs. So what specifically can I do to support you? Would you like a hug? Or would you rather I come change the oil in your car? I find that many times when people are coaching with me, you know, they'll use up a half a box of Kleenex. They'll maybe for the first time have really been fully heard. And it's such a relief to just let it all out. And the mascara's flowing and the Kleenex is like all over. And after I've get the sense that they feel heard and that they, you know, the torrent is more or less over, then I might ask, you well, what was your favorite thing about that person? And then it's amazing, they start laughing at, you know, as they share something great. You know, I love Khalil Gibran's poem Joy and Sorrow. You know, it's only that which has given you joy. It's given you sorrow. How could it be otherwise? How could it be otherwise? So, of course, if you ask the right questions, the person is going to have the opportunity to express that joy. You know, the first time they met, when they got engaged, their honeymoon trip. Or if you're someone as extraordinary as Suzanne, it might even be the last moments that were profound and touching, making love, when other people would have made totally different choices. Like, wow. Okay, so there's some great things to say. Can I have a mic? Anybody like to share some great things to say that you heard? Yes, Ron.
What came up for me when you were discussing the things that people should do was the joyful celebration of my great-grandfather's passing. When I was small, I grew up in a French-Canadian farming community.
Oh.
And these women coming in bringing food, they just all came from all over bringing in food, and everybody told funny stories.
Great.
About my great-grandfather and the tricks he would play and the jokes he would tell.
Great.
And it was the most joyful time.
Wonderful, a celebration.
There was the sadness.
Yes.
But there was the joy of this wonderful life that had made such a huge contribution.
Thank you, Ron. Who else wants to share something good? Babette?
When my sister-in-law lost her son 2 Thanksgivings ago to a car accident, there was nothing you could say to her. He was 18, and we were at the funeral, and I just noticed she was just shivering, as I think you do when you're in shock. And I had a wrap, and I just walked over and put it around her.
Nice.
And she stopped shivering.
Yeah.
So I felt, you know, I can't say anything, but at least that helped.
So much better to do something.
Yeah.
Be love. Yeah. Dina.
After my husband died, one of my friends who lived a few hours away came to the wake, and she gave me 2 gifts. One was a book.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, can't remember the name of it right now. And the other one was a picture frame, but not a, it's like a picture frame, but instead it had footprints in the sand.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So I have that on my desk, and every time I feel that I feel alone, I read it, and I still have it 7 years later.
Nice.
So gifts are a nice thing to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when my former boss's dog died, I bought her a picture frame so she could have her dog with her.
Nice.
Yeah, so those are nice things.
Those are, you know, someone thought about it and took a moment. Mm-hmm. Expression of love. Great.
One more thing.
Yes.
When my son was 3, my sons were 7 and 3, and I wasn't sure what to do. Do I bring them to the wake? Do I bring them to the funeral? And this woman was instrumental in helping me. And when her husband died, her son was 2, and she never brought him to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, bring them for sure to the funeral, and this may sound morbid, but take a picture of your husband in the coffin so that your son will be able to see and have closure. My older son still to this day doesn't want to look at the pictures, but my younger son stares at them so that it makes it clear for him that he's gone and not coming back.
And so he doesn't suffer ambiguous loss.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That is very important. Mm-hmm. Good choice. She was a good friend. Good. Anyone else want to share a good thing? Yes, Aaron.
For me, my really big heartbreak in the recent history, anyway, is around divorce. And one of the biggest things that anyone did for me when the ball dropped and I was informed that I was no longer going to be married, everything changed. I could no longer afford where I was living. It was done. My life was over. And
as you knew it.
Yeah, as I knew it. And
I was only just beginning.
But I had friends who took me in because I had nowhere to go.
Oh, honey.
So
they showed up for you. Yeah.
Big time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Erin. Okay, let's move on here. Oh, one more. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to add, this is all awesome. I lost my son in a car accident, and for me, there's silence. And I had a dear friend that it was so hard for me to go to the cemetery, and so she would just go with me and sit in silence. And it was huge because I couldn't do it by myself. So
oh, yes. Thanks
sometimes
for sharing
you don't
that,
have to
Paula.
Really say anything, but it's your presence, I think, that honors you and the person.
Our
presence mm-hmm. is the present.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing,
thank you.
Paula. And my brother Bryce did that for me. You know, when David died, he was just there for me. He didn't know what to say, but he was wise enough to say nothing. And he just sat with me and poured mascara and hugged me. And he was there. He was just there. And I'm so grateful. It made a big difference. Very big difference. Always loved him. But when somebody's there for you, when you really need them, like, wow. Wow. And amazingly, even this young man, he was 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, he was there for me. Made such a difference. You don't have to be an expert, but when you show up as love, it makes a difference. Jerry, did you want to share something? Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure. No, I want to hear what you have to say. You always say something interesting.
You read about it in my book, but I had an experience of going to a formal African grief ritual.
Yes.
And where you left a fire and walked into the darkness and came to a well of tears where you poured your tears out. And the instruction was that no one could go to the well of tears, should go to the well of tears alone, because in order to pour your tears out completely, you needed to be touched. You needed to be accompanied. So the instruction was, when someone leaves the fire to go to the well of tears, someone else, whoever feels moved, accompany them and just be there with them and put your hand on their back,
yes,
or on their shoulder. That's all you have to do.
And that makes all the difference.
And that makes all the difference. And that's the difference between being able to empty completely,
yes,
or not.
Or hold back because it's not quite safe.
Right.
It's like having the trampoline under
right.
underneath when you're on the high wire.
And so just being there, as you said, is love. And being witnessed and being present to someone else's grief helps
yes.
them experience whatever they need to experience
yes.
even more.
And that's what Jerry does now as a grief coach. He's there for other people, holding that space energetically. Sometimes only with touch as well, if they're with him presently. This is a powerful, powerful gift to give. Thanks for sharing, Jerry. Okay, moving on. So, guidelines for sharing in your booklet. So I'm going to, because we're just sort of setting up the rest of the weekend and establishing some guidelines for sharing. I know some of you are grief coaches who've studied, you know all this, but some of you are new to this room, so I want to make it safe for everyone by just having these guidelines for sharing. And maybe we can start on any table, Maureen, and you just yeah, start here, and we'll pass the mic, and I just invite you to read aloud the guidelines. As each person's reading aloud just one point at a time, you can just first start off, read the purpose, and then pass the mic and read number one, et cetera, et cetera. I invite everyone to make this commitment silently, and then I'm going to ask for a show of hands that you're all committed to these guidelines for sharing. Go ahead.
The purpose with compassion and without any rescuing or fixing, to create a safe, non-judgmental space.
Thank you.
Number one for the commitment, I am here to support, love, and accept myself and others, not to condemn, analyze, fix, or rescue.
Number two, I agree to share honestly and from my heart.
Number three, I agree to respect each participant. If judgments come up, I will simply notice, then bring my awareness back to the present.
Number four, I will give the person sharing my attention. I will not engage in crosstalk.
Number five, I will make I statements, not you statements. I will take responsibility for my own experiences.
I will not make others responsible for how I feel.
I will listen to what people are literally saying. I will not assign my meaning or interpretation to what someone else has said.
Number eight, I release the need to try to win love, approval, or appreciation by appearing wise or knowledgeable.
Number nine, I will not give advice. I will use my insights in my own life. Thank you for sharing is all I need to say to others.
Number 10, I will acknowledge thoughts, feelings, and facts.
I release the need to defend myself or try to justify my words or actions. Thanks.
11, I will use whatever happens as an opportunity to learn and grow in awareness, acceptance, and compassion.
Number 12, I will keep everything said in the group confidential.
Can we have, by show of hands, an agreement to these guidelines for sharing? You'll do your best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good, great. So we've really just created a safe space for everybody. Good. Okay, so moving on, the next page is a stress scale. It's very important to know where you start, what you're dealing with right now, for how much change. So just take a moment to fill out this stress scale. I didn't come up with this stress scale. It was Thomas Holmes and Richard Rahe. And it's not comprehensive. It's got to fit in one piece of paper, for one thing. But just notice all the change that you are dealing with. So often when people are dealing with heartbreak, they're noticing the one profound loss. They're noticing the death. They're noticing the divorce. They're noticing the job loss. But they just may have not noticed that they're also dealing with a bunch of other things as well. For example, Erin shared a moment ago when she was dealing with divorce, she also ended up dealing with her whole life changing. She had to move. She had a different financial reality. Thank God she had friends who welcomed her in. But it wasn't just divorce. It was divorce plus move, plus financial change, plus, plus, plus. So it's very important for you to know, where are you on this stress scale right now? And there's no wrong or right about this, but it's just good to notice. I know that when I was dealing with David's death, I thought, like, wow, I used to be so smart. Used to be capable and competent, I guess, downhill from here. But it wasn't so. It was just that I was dealing with more change than I could deal with at that time, and my cup overflowed with stress. And when anybody's cup overflows with stress, they're not going to show up as their best, most articulate, most clear-thinking, most emotionally stable human being. And that's not forever. It's just for that moment, just for that snapshot in time. And the relief that most people get when they look at the stress scale is they go, oh, okay, this is a time for me to invest in myself and get more support, work with a coach, get a massage, have scented candles, get my nails done, get my hair done, go to a beautiful retreat like this, or whatever it might be for you, because they can understand that, you know, well, maybe normally they wouldn't, I don't know, they would think it was a splurge to get a massage. They might now have the clarity and wisdom to go, actually, I need to be touched. I need to take care of my needs because I'm off balance. And whatever I can do to get myself back in a harmony with balance is very important. And just know that actually it's very stressful. Any change is stressful. We're like plants. So even if you've moved to a more beautiful home, it's stress. It's change. Moving is stressful, right? Yeah, Yale just recently moved. Even exciting things are stressful, like getting married or starting a new relationship. Stress, because it's change. So just make a note of all the changes that you are dealing with that are on this and just circle them. So the death of a spouse, they've got at 100 here, and a divorce, 60, et cetera, et cetera. Just go through this whole list. And I invite you, if they don't have something on here that you notice is a big causing a big change in your life, I give you permission to add it to the list. Don't have death of a horse on this list. Doesn't mean that it's not stressful or heartbreaking, so you have permission, Marcia, to go ahead and add it. But just using you as an example. So I also give you permission that if something happened 13 months ago or 18 months ago, in my experience, we know on average it takes people 5 to 8 years, so what? 13 months, all of a sudden, zero stress? No. So I give you permission to use your own judgment and allow some number for change that's still profoundly affecting you. But for example, if you're dealing with the death of a spouse and they give it 100 on this arbitrary scale by Thomas Holmes and Richard Rahe, but they did do some scientific research, that you give yourself perhaps 50 if it's year two, maybe 25 if it's year three. Use your own wisdom to guide you as to what the truth is for you. And there's no wrong or right about it. It's not like there's any particular importance to these numbers, but what is of value is just try to get a snapshot for you or your coaching client how much change they're dealing with. Because when you factor in perhaps a divorce, plus perhaps a move, plus changing a career, plus maybe sleeping less than 8 hours per night, maybe you have a change in responsibilities at work, maybe you're also having trouble with your in-laws, maybe you've got chronic allergies, and you also got a loan, you know, it all adds up. And stress is a little bit like allergies. You know, people can tolerate a certain amount of allergen, but then, you know, one more cat hair and they have an allergic reaction. Their cup overflows. Okay, who would like to give us a little sharing around any ahas you had about doing this and what your total number was? Lindsay's got some sharing from the looks of it.
I had no idea. I'm red zoned.
Oh, red zoned. Okay.
I'm like, what? I think I'm pretty calm and, you know, but according to the list.
What's your number?
Oh, 400 and something.
Oh, whoa, that's a lot.
Well, I mean, if you...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I mean, some of it's not
a lot
really...
of people in the room will be in this red zone.
It's...
What... So you're in the red zone, which is 250 or more, which means, you know, danger, Will Robinson. It means high alert. It means this is the time to take good care of you, as you're doing. You wouldn't be here if you weren't taking good care of you. Yeah? You
right.
are wise enough to know, wow, I'm dealing with a lot of change. You maybe didn't know how, you know, that you were in the red zone, but you intuitively knew this was a time to get more support to help you transcend and release these challenges. Good. And I don't know how many people were noticing the change in Lindsay, but I invite you to look at her. She's been here for, this is her third day, and already her energy has really shifted.
Yeah.
Lori, too. So I just invite you to notice yourself and the other people as they shift. It's quite profound and amazing. Laura, you also bring up another point indirectly through your sharing and through your radiance, which is that this stress scale gives a number which helps us give information, but there's also a difference between experiencing stress or not. So the Dalai Lama, as I understand, when his brother died, he wept. He was distraught. For a day. Jesus wept too. There's nothing wrong with weeping and fully expressing your grief. But then, as I understand it, both the Dalai Lama and Jesus the next day were back to being peaceful and happy. So when you have more tools in your toolkit, when you have more people on your support team, when you feel connected and supported and cared for, and you have the opportunity to express and release these challenges, then your perceived stress will be different from the number. So I'm open to you having the experience of being in the green zone by Sunday, although the number, of course, will still stay in the red zone, which will speak to the gap that you've created through having more tools, more support, etc., more wisdom, more insight.
Well, something my very wise grandmother said.
Yes.
I said, how did you manage this or that or the other thing? And she said, I just accepted it.
Very wise.
And I thought, you know, I mean, there's things I can't do anything about.
Yes.
And so, and there's things I can do something about. And
yes.
And I'm the only one who can do it.
Yes. Resistance is what makes us old, tired, cranky.
Yeah.
Stress.
But I was like,
good.
Unless I didn't add it up right, but I think I did.
Yeah, good, so. Good. Come get a card.
Oh.
Who else would like to share an aha or insight around the stress scale? Grace.
I just noticed that I'm thinking that nothing's happened.
Yeah.
So why am I so teetery at the moment?
Yes.
And going through this little self-test, it feels like injury or death by a thousand pinpricks.
Yes.
This is the cumulative effect of a lot of things over the last 12 or 18 months.
Yes. Thank you for sharing, Bryce. Come get a card. And so that's very important to notice, because all those little pinpricks eventually, you know, can burst your balloon. You're welcome. And that's good to notice, because then we can all give ourselves a little more support, and we can also have the wisdom to know we're not going crazy. This is just how much change we're dealing with right now, and that's okay. We can accept it and not resist it. And also, I just invite you to know that this weekend has trajectory to it, and that we're going to start off in the heartbreak energy and gradually go to the happiness energy. So you should be expecting to feel emotional right now, as it is important that you connect to whatever remaining heartbreak or stress you have, because if you can't feel it, you can't heal it. And by Sunday, my invitation is that you'll feel the experience of being in the green zone, even though the number may still be the same. So you're in the right place at the right time. Yes, Sylvie?
I just had an aha.
Good.
So I'm listening to a lot of really wonderful stories and about huge grief. And I'm just sitting there going, what am I here for?
Yes.
And I'm looking at my stress. There's not much. But Bryce just kind of gave me an aha. And I'm feeling guilty and going, I shouldn't really be here. This isn't really, I don't have a lot of grief. I'm pretty happy. I wrote happy faces on my little name tags. But it's not about the big or the small. The huge thing is, you know, you shouldn't even feel guilty about grieving for the little things either.
Yeah, right.
And so that just gave me a huge aha. It's not about the hugeness or the, it's just about grieving. It's
yes,
about the feeling. So thank
good.
You.
Good. Thank you. Come get a card. Yes, Kathy.
I want to piggyback on what Sylvie just said, because I got an aha as well from Bryce. And it's not on here, or at least I didn't see it as being an empty nester.
Yes.
It was, I didn't realize that both of my kids moving out would be such a huge, huge void in my life. And I grieved.
Yeah, of course.
For a long period of time. And I kept thinking it was hormones. And maybe it was all in there as well.
Maybe in addition, yeah.
But it was the loss of being something that I no longer had the role of, and it was changing.
Big change, yeah.
So, yeah, I
yes,
just
come get a didn't... card, Kathy.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. That's important. Empty nest is not on here, and that is big. Okay.
Well, I have an aha, a big number, 540.
Wow.
And that is actually my aha, because... Wow. Nothing has really changed in the last 5 years. So I had an incident 5 years ago. My husband had an accident, and he's still living. He's living with a brain injury. So the husband that I knew is not living, and I have a new husband. It took a while to get used to being in this arranged marriage with a new person. Mm. And, of course, he didn't know I was going through that, and that was a great choice I made. Mm. So now it's like I'm in a new marriage. You know, as I'm going down this whole list, and our total financial situation changed. I mean, he can no longer work. He's on disability, and I went back to work, so I'm checking. Yeah, my hours changed, and, you know, as I came to everything. And but all of this happened, like, 5 years ago, and it's really not new. What's new is at this moment I'm realizing I didn't address any of it, so it's all fresh, and it is those thousand pinpicks of grief. And I'm the happy person that everyone always turns to as being happy, and isn't that wonderful, and he lived, and isn't that fabulous, and it all is. So I've been up here for 5 years, and more things are getting checked off on this list, where in the present moment, my life is beautiful. So it's that resistance. So
I appreciate you sharing. And I love you and celebrate who you are and your choices. And so many of us sometimes, you know, we paste on the happy face and we have the Academy Award winning recovery. And that doesn't serve us, because eventually it becomes like pasting on a full on the empty on your gas. You're going to run out of fuel whether or not you paste on the full. And so you're here to become genuinely happy without the pasted on. And you know what? A genuinely happy person isn't always smiling. A genuinely happy person in my experience, is authentic. And so I invite us to have authenticity rather than a smile as our intention.
I do want to add an aha that came when I was just filling out the goal sheet earlier.
Good.
Was what are you here for? And it was like, oh, you know, to help all these people with what I've learned, you know, because that's what I do. That's what I've done for the last 5 years is taken everything that I've learned and shared my experience, strength, and hope with others, and yet not having healed myself.
Tell now.
Yes. So intellectually, I'm able to coach others. Isn't that interesting? And so I'm here for my personal healing. So thank
you. I'm so glad. Good. Come and get a card, if you would. And I also just want to piggyback on what you said just a moment, Terry, which is that I know you have come a long way, or you wouldn't be here. Yeah. And you probably have, whatever, that 5% left. And that 5% makes all the difference. So really honor your courage and wisdom for being here. Thank you. And don't we all have a 5% left? And wouldn't that just make a huge difference when we choose to show up and really release that? And the fact that we have that 5% left doesn't negate the 95% that we've already done. We do have gifts to give already. And when we release that last 5% or 50% or 2% or whatever it might be, our gifts will shine forth even more radiantly. Terry.
I just had an aha moment as well, too, from what you were saying. And I was noticing from my list as well, too, I had quite a high number. I had 460.
Wow.
And I do the same thing, too. I paste on a smile during the daytime, but there's often times at night that I just find it's just overwhelming, and I just cry at nighttime. Like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I'll just sob, and then I'll go through the day, and then I'll paste the smile on and just try and go through it.
Yes.
And I noticed there's one thing on here that I'm going through that's not on the list that's a big stressor.
Well, you have permission to add it and share it if you like, because others may find liberation in that.
Well, it's a big thing, too. It's going through the grief of knowing that you're in love with somebody, but that person can't love you back in that same way.
Oh.
And so you're going through a grief process in terms of that as well, too.
Yeah.
So it is for me, it's a loss.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, there are all kinds of profound losses that are not on this list. So you have permission to use your wisdom to add so that it fits for you. Thanks for sharing.